I'm leaving. Yeah, I'm still going to wear this shirt.
Hey, this is Kyle Kunkel. Welcome to the Bear Fruit Show. We talk about the success stories in business, life, and real estate. And I'm so glad to have our guest with us today. We have Gary McGinnis. He's a spiritual mentor, father in my eyes. And it's just a real honor to have you, Gary.
Thanks, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Awesome. So today we're going to talk a little bit about dream interpretation. It's kind of maybe an odd subject for some people, but in my mind, I believe that God always talks even when we decide to go to sleep. So, Gary's top accomplishments are coming out of a negative alcoholic family, going into chiropractic school and building a successful practice, becoming a master certified in dream interpretation and interpreting dreams, teaching dream interpretation, et cetera, and being married, for 39 years and having a great family. So, Gary, those all sound pretty awesome.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Kyle, I lost you.
Can you hear me?
Now I can. Yeah. Can you hear me now? That's what God's always saying. Can you hear me now? That's why he gives us dreams. Because at least when we're sleeping, we got our mouths shut and he can say, can you hear me now?
Right. That's probably my problem. I don't keep my mouth shut to hear from God. Anyways, so Gary, tell us your story, kind of from the good, bad, and ugly, and just kind of how you ended up in life and where you're at now.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned in the, your questions that, I grew up in not a horrible, horrible environment. When you look at the environment some people grew up in, but I definitely grew up in a negative environment that was not conducive to producing a successful life for a kid growing up. Never knew my real father, and the man that I knew as my father was, an alcoholic, good guy, but drunk all the time, and all the freaking time, and my mother was crazy, and so it was rough growing up. You're always waiting for the next shoe to drop. It was not a good environment. Very little peace in the home. Obviously a lot of yelling, a lot of fighting. I can remember some stories, which I don't need to get into, that were, involving guns and knives and, just crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. And I had two brothers, and I was thinking, it's funny. I was thinking yesterday about some of the things that can hold people back. And one of the things that have held me back, I mean, I've been fairly successful, but not because of me by any means, but because of God. I couldn't even go out to play after school until I think I was in seventh grade. Yeah. I used to come home from school and at 3 o'clock put my jammies on and sit on a blanket watching TV. And, talk about setting boundaries for a kid. You sit on this blanket, And but fortunately, I was able to get off the blanket. But yet I also realized, looking back over my life, that blanket was still there, afraid to take certain risk, certain decisions and making. But I do remember this one thing I think made a huge, huge difference. And then I'll get off of it or go as far as you want. But I remember when I was 6 years old and we were on welfare, food stamps and nothing again. Sometimes people need a little help. But we were on food stamps and welfare. And I remember the welfare people coming to the house to pick me up for a Christmas party, you know, for the poor kids. And so we went to the poor kid Christmas party. And I remember at 6 years old, sitting at this long table with all these other poor kids. And I'm looking around, and this had to be God, because I'm 6 years old. You don't think about this when you're six. I'm looking around at all these poor kids, knowing where I was. And I said, I don't belong here with these people. And I'm absolutely convinced, not that I was better, you know, but it said, I don't belong here with these people. So at 6 years old, I believe that was a self-fulfilling prophecy that kind of set the stage somehow in a way I don't understand, that let God know I didn't want to stay in that kind of environment for my whole life. And I think that, you know, I think that helps set the stage for good things to, you know, good things to happen and able to make some good decisions. You know, like I said, the blanket was still there regarding investments and things like that, because growing up poor, you have a tendency to not want to lose what you have. You don't want to go back. You don't want to sit at that table again with all the other poor people. So sometimes you're afraid to take risk that could actually make things even better, you know, achieve more. And, I have no, you know, I have no complaints at all. None. I have great family, and coming out of that kind of environment, same thing with your family, right? You're either going to be a good father or you're going to be a crappy father, and you're either going to be a good husband or you're going to be a crappy husband. And so I was blessed to have, you know, Joey, my wife, phenomenal. And I got two good kids. So I guess, you know, I did not want to be the father I didn't know, and I didn't want to be the father I did know. I wanted to be a better father, you know?
Yeah. So what, I guess going off of that, being a better father, how did you do that? Like, what was some of the things that just helped you do that?
I think probably one of the biggest things, other than not being drunk all the time. That's helpful.
Yeah.
Hey kids, bring me another beer. I think making the conscious decision to do things to make sure, you know, to take kids places, to go on vacations with them, to make them feel. One of the things my daughter even said, I think it was about 6 months ago, because she has a friend and she's got some daddy issues. And Stephanie said one of the things that she remembers the most about her growing up is I always made her feel valuable. She always knew what her identity was. And I didn't necessarily do that on purpose, but it was just something that came out. And so that's a big deal, you know? And And again, we were, you know, they were fortunate. I got, you know, was able to provide them with some things that some fathers, you know, some families can't provide their kids with. And not that the financial stuff is the most important, but it's helpful, you know. And it's helpful. And so, yeah. And, you know, I wasn't real strong in making them go to church or any of that stuff. But they, you know, they know God, they understand the importance of a spiritual life. It doesn't mean necessarily that they're living, you know, this hyper spiritual life, hyper Christian life, but they know who God is, and they know how to pay. And so I think that was also important. That's one area I might have done better in, you know, was in bringing them up in a spiritual kind of environment. But on the other hand, I know lots of people who, you know, did their family Bible studies and you know, did all these things, and their kids turned out didn't turn out that well anyway. So, you know, sometimes with your kids, it's just a crapshoot.
That's cute.
You know, it's like hitting out of the rough in a golf course. You know, you don't know where the ball's going. You just hope you don't hit the tree in front of you. So, yeah.
That's funny. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, as far as, you know, with my wife, it's just, she's absolutely phenomenal. She really is. And so she makes it easy to be a good husband, because she's easy to please, you know. It's like the kids on the World Race, you know, remember, like with you guys, I can't remember who it was. They said, how have you and Joey stayed together all these years and been so happy and have such a good relationship? And my response was, well, Joey is a servant. She absolutely loves to serve. And me, I absolutely love to be served. So it's a match made in heaven.
Shoot, that's funny. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So Gary and I actually met 7-8 years ago. And I did something called the World Race, or we did something called the World Race, where I went to 11 countries in 11 months. And did mission work and did everything from building houses to working with orphans to fighting human trafficking. Just it depended on what country we went to and what the missionaries were doing, you know, we just partnered with what they were doing, basically. So, but Gary was kind of what they said, you know, like the squad father, squad dad, or, you know, leader. And he'd come out and he'd slap us around a little bit and set us straight and give us some advice and love us and speak into us our identity, kind of like you did with your own kids. And you know, I think that was huge for a lot of people in the race, is understanding their identity in Christ and just understanding who they really were and are. And we had a lot of fun. You know, we had some good cigars and some good drinks in some different places, and that was it was good.
Right. It was good. So,
as far as, you know, kind of jumping into, you know, dream interpretation, I think that's, you know, could be kind of weird for people. Can you kind of just give us a overview of what that is, what that means? How did you get into it? Kind of that story is.
Basically dreams are, and then I'll tell you how I got into it, but you know, dreams are actually God's way. Remember before, just at the beginning, we were kind of kidding around saying about, you know, can you hear me now? And a lot of times that's the way that God is able to speak to us, is through our dreams. Because during the course of the day, we got so much going on, our brain is here, our brain is there. We don't shut up long enough, either literally or metaphorically, to hear what God is saying. And so he'll speak to us at night in our dreams, and to give us direction, encouragement, correction. He'll show us, you know, give us, and when I say direction, I mean literally telling us, you know, which way to go, so to speak, in life, you know. And now, not every dream is from God, obviously. There's ways to tell a God dream from one that isn't from God. Dreams will be out of our own soul, you know, our own mind, the things that have happened during the course of the day. Or, you know, God forbid you should watch the news before you go to sleep. That's a dumb thing to do. It definitely screw up your night. And then sometimes it'll even come from, you know, the dark side. What do you want to call that? The devil or Satan or, you know, negative forces. It doesn't matter. It's all the same thing. But God will speak to us in our dreams. And the way I actually got into it one day, I was in the church, and, you know, and I was kind of like a prophetic guy in the church. And some girl comes up to me, and who I'd never seen before, I had never seen after that. She had blonde hair, a pretty girl. And she said, hey, Gary, can you interpret a dream for me? And I said, well, I've never done that before. I said, but go ahead and tell me the dream. So she told me the dream, and I gave her the interpretation, just kind of came to me. And I told her, and she looked at me, shook her head, and said, yeah, that's it. And she walked away, and I walked away, and I went through the door. And on the way out the door, I said, gee, God, I wish there was somebody here in this church who could really interpret genes for people. And as clear as you hear my voice, he says, why not you? which is kind of interesting, you know, when you times when you have an idea and say, gee, I hope somebody can come up with a way to take care of this issue or that issue. Maybe in the back of your mind, God is trying to say, well, why not you? But that's another story. So I went home, went online, put in dream interpretation, and lo and behold, the first one that comes up, which is really strange, was a Christian website, Streams Ministries, with a man I love the guy. He's passed now, and I miss him. Got his picture right over there, John Paul Jackson, prophet, dream interpreter. And so anyway, I got involved with that ministry and went through a process and learned how to interpret dreams. And, you know, it's one of those things. It's like if it's a calling, you'll stick with it, because, you know, out of like 4,000 people who started this program, I think we have like 18 people who actually got to, quote, master certified. And all that really means, somebody said, what's it like being a master certified dream interpreter? I says, well, it's kind of like getting your first degree black belt, you know, just enough to get your ass kicked. Because you're always learning. And everything is different. There's no dictionary. There's no dictionary book, you know, that or dream symbol book that's going to tell you what your dream means. You have to go by the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will never leave himself out of the equation when you're interpreting dreams. If you're interpreting them by the Spirit, if you're using like soulish interpretations like Jungian or God forbid Freud, then it doesn't really matter. But anyway, and God can use good, bad. Even those dreams I said that happened during the course of a day. Let's say you're doing something throughout the day and then you dream about it at night. Well, God may take that dream and use it to teach you some things that maybe now that occurrence that happened during the day, which you just passed off as nothing, actually can have some deeper value and deeper insight into teaching you some things that next time you come upon that same situation, now maybe you can handle a little bit different because God has spoken to you and taught you some things through that, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. So, I mean, for me, I wish I dream more. I just don't. But my wife, she dreams every night. And, you know, I definitely think it's how God speaks to her. And, you know, she's had dreams about people and, you know, I've called them and, you know, she's been able to speak into their lives and stuff like that. And whenever I get a dream about somebody, usually I'll reach out to them. And I don't always know, you know, what dreams mean. I'm more of a daydreamer. I guess for people who dream a lot or have these dreams and they don't know what to do with them, what would you suggest? Like, they know there's something there. Like, they know they mean something. Whether you believe in God or not, like, God will still speak to you in your dreams.
Well, and yeah, you can actually – go ahead. I'm sorry.
And so, like, you know, someone who has a dream or a reoccurring dream or something like that, what would you say to that person? You know, to how to figure that out, or what does it mean?
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's say it's a reoccurring dream, okay? The reason you're having a reoccurring dream is because God really wants you to learn something, you know? He wants to reveal something. He wants you to learn something, teach you something that, you know, you still haven't gotten. You know, it's just like passing the test with God. You never fail a test with God. You just have to keep taking it over and over again.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
It's like the Jews turned a 3-day journey into 40 years. The most important, the most dreams, there's a different kinds of dreams. But in most dreams, the person having the dream is actually what's called the focus. The dream is about them. Stuff going on in and around their life. There are what's called intercession dreams, where you're not necessarily even in the dream. You're dreaming and you're seeing a bunch of stuff go on around you, but you're not actually in the dream. And if you are, it's to a very small extent. Those kinds of dreams are usually God's revealing to you something about somebody else's life or a situation at work or whatever that's going on. And the reason you'll get those kinds of dreams is to make you aware of what's happening. And so then you pray or you can intercede or bring to attention, these issues in other people's lives. But again, most dreams are about the person dreaming. The problem comes, though, in the interpretation of the dreams, because most dreams are not literal. Most dreams are metaphorical. Like people a dream that they're, they died. Oh my God, I saw myself in a casket. It was horrible. Am I going to die? Well, if you keep eating Ho-Hos and Twinkies, you might, but that's not, but normally if you see yourself dead in a dream, it just means some aspect of your life is coming to an end, and you're not dying, but something in your life is dying. Could be your job is coming to an end and God is warning you. Could be a relationship, could be a whole lot of different things that's coming to an end. And that's not a negative thing, because, when things die, there's also a resurrection of some things as well. So, yeah. My suggestion, because you can't, unless you're actually teaching this stuff and helping and really going into, some teaching about dreams, I think if you just ask God, okay, what does this dream mean? Okay, what are you trying to tell me? Just get quiet. Just be quiet and say, God, I dreamt this, and repeat the dream back to God. It's not that he has to have you repeat the dream, because it's like if he gave you the dream, he knows the dream you had. Even if he didn't give you the dream, he still knows the dream you had. Satan could give you a dream, and God still knows that Satan gave you the dream. But you repeat the dream, and the reason you repeat the dream is not, again, so you can tell God what it is, but so you can kind of remember it yourself and kind of work through as you're telling the dream. Like, okay, God, yeah, I was on a running track and I ran 50 yards and suddenly I tripped over this hurdle. And as you begin to even say those things, the understanding or interpretation can come if you've asked God, if you've asked the Holy Spirit to give you the interpretation. And the other thing is, too, you can also simply say, and also, God, send me some confirmation. Send me somebody to, and you'd be surprised how that works. Send me somebody who can help me interpret this dream. Sometimes you may not get any understanding of it because God gave you the dream, but it's not time for the interpretation. It's like if you open up a bottle of wine before it's time, it's still just water. And, which happens a lot, like with people, like prophetic people, they get a word from God. They got to go out and tell the entire world. And all it is water. It hasn't really become wine yet. And so it doesn't really carry much weight. And because you're out of God's timing. But yeah, I would just say that, just ask God to give you an understanding of what he wants you to know or understand. And if you and when you think about your dream, focus on the main issues, not all little, I saw there was a birdie in the background in the tree and blah blah blah, as I tripped over that hurdle running down the track. Okay, well, maybe the birdie in the tree does mean something and it might have an impact and so on and so forth, but the key issue is you were running down the track and you tripped over a hurdle at the 50-yard line. That's the key. And I made that very simple because anybody could figure one out.
Yeah.
Right. So you don't have to be a dream interpreter to figure that out. If you do that and write your dreams down, I don't do that as often as I should. But it's very important to write things down, write your dreams down, even if you don't think they're important, even if they're little snippets that you remember, write that down, because it goes back to the principle of if you're faithful in the little things, God will give you more. So if you find dreams are valuable to you, God will begin to speak to you more in your dreams. If you're like, oh, geez, I shouldn't have had that pizza last night. And dreams don't mean anything. You know, I know a lot of real left brain people, you know, like, yeah, they're, you know, very analytical and left brain. And to them, oh, that's just, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then and then on the other side, you've got the real right brain prophetic people. And, you know, everything is, you know, got huge meaning to it. And it may or may not. And so, but yeah, write them down. That's really important to just write your dreams down in the morning and then read them. Then maybe later on in the day, go ahead and read it and ask God what they may mean. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. No, that's good. I think that's really good. I think there's, it's kind of a lost, you know, what I like about it, just dreams and dream interpretation and understanding what it means, is that I feel like people who are in business or in life are so busy, or just even now, like life is just so busy with, I mean, your phone, like you're never really left alone. And so I really like that, you know, God can finally speak to you because you're finally being quiet in your dreams. And I think that's a unique thing. And I think it's a really valuable thing. And so people can understand, like, okay, God's speaking to me. What is he saying? And maybe you don't understand it at first, but like you said, you write it down, you read it throughout the day. Maybe you reach out to somebody who's, you know, done this before, and you can try to understand, like, what does this dream mean? What is God trying to speak to me? Because he's always speaking. And so it's just like a, I don't know. It's cool to be able to hear from God in that way. And I think a lot of people hear from God in that way. They just don't know what to do with it. And yeah, so that's kind of what I wanted to kind of bring light to this in a way and help people understand, like, hey, it's not just random, you know, if that makes sense. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Two thirds of the Bible is dreams and visions, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, some people, I mean, there are people who don't think that God can give you dreams anymore and all that stopped and blah, blah. And, well, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, you know?
Yeah.
And, spoke to Joseph in a dream. Well, he can still speak to Kyle and Gary and, Paul and Billy Bob and whoever else is. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Well, let's kind of transition into, you know, you were a chiropractor for, you know, I don't even know how many years, but you ran a business. It was successful. Kind of tell us how that integrated into, how you integrated God into your practice.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, first of all, there's no way that, because you know me, Kyle. I'm not the sharpest pencil in the drawer, you know. And so I pretty much anything that, well, I'll say it this way. One time I took this left brain, right brain test for whatever they're worth, you know. And so when I took it, I was 80% right brain, 20% left brain. And the little synopsis at the bottom said, if you fall into this category, you've basically flown through life by the seat of your pants, which is true. So, you know, God, I believe I was called to be a chiropractor. There's, you know, to me, there's basically two kinds of chiropractors. There are those who decide to become a chiropractor because, you know, they want to get into some kind of health field, and, you know, you can do fine financially and so on. And so they make that decision based on A, B, C, and D. And then there are those who are called, and they may make the decision, but they're actually called to be chiropractors. And to me, whenever I knew I was a chiropractor, but I always thought more that I was a healer, and God chose chiropractic to be the vehicle through which healing would come. And so, you know, there's no way that I could operate in my practice without God, because it was God who made the body, and God who made the body heals the body. And so all I could possibly be is an intermediary between the power that made the body and the power that heals the body. So, you know, I never took credit for healings. I would always give credit to God when people, and we had miracles in the office. I mean, deaf people getting their hearing back, people with digestive issues, asthma, you know, people with headaches for literally every day of their life for 50 years, you know, bedwetters, all kinds of things. And we even had women who couldn't get pregnant. And we laugh and say, well, came to Dr. Gary and got pregnant. So. but they couldn't get pregnant. And how does all that work? I don't know. I don't care. I'm one of those guys. I don't care. I don't have to know how something works. All I know is, you know, you drop the keys and they hit the floor. So something's, you know, and the science of it wasn't all that important to me. But yeah. And then I would incorporate it. I would pray for people and I'd have prophetic words for them. I would, you know, maybe have a word of knowledge, you know, and for those who don't know necessarily, if there's, you're listening, that what a word of knowledge is just some supernatural knowledge that God gives you about a person, about their life, or that you couldn't know on your own. You know, maybe, you know, in the fourth grade, they fell out of the chair and banged their head and that's why they have headaches. Whatever. And you tell them that and you say, man, did you fall out of your chair when you were in the fourth grade and you hit your, yeah, how'd you know that? And then, you know, me, I had no problem. I said, well, got me, you know, and I'd adjust them. See you Wednesday. Pay on your way out. And, but yeah, so, you know, God would, and sometimes I would just sit and pray with people, you know, they'd come in and I knew they would need prayer for themselves or their family. So God was always incorporated in the practice. Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. I find that encouraging because in any business you're running, you're always interacting with people. And so just really listening to what God has for that person and being able to encourage that person, whether it's just smiling at them or telling them they're amazing or, you can get a feeling of, hey, there's something going on with this person. How can I encourage them? How can I love them? How can I, you know, what can I say to not just encourage them, but what does God have for them? Because like God has something for everybody, whether you want it or not. So how can we love that person in that moment? And just the boldness to do it. And I admire that you did that in your practice and in your business in such a professional setting. And I think a lot of Christians sometimes struggle with how to do that or when to do that or if they should do that. And I just think it's part of the platform that you're given. And it's an opportunity to just to love people where they're at. And you don't have to be on the stage to be preaching and be able to, you know, you don't have to be across the world and doing a mission trip to be able to love somebody. It's just your mission field is where you're at right now. So, awesome. 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 So Gary, as we kind of wrap up, is there anything, that you want to just share with us or encourage us with, as we kind of wrap up?
Well, probably, I guess, maybe the only thing, since, you know, I know you're gearing this towards people who are either in business or want to be in business or, you know, hope to be in business someday, is that you don't have to give up one for the other. You just kind of mentioned it there. The world needs Christians. They don't need people to put their little fish symbol on their business card. you know, say, well, I'm a Christian. And then they do a crappy, you know, I'm a Christian plumber, you know, and they can't put two pipes together. And when they do it wrong. And then they steal from you. So put nothing against plumber. And so putting a little symbol on your fish, that doesn't make you a Christian businessman. What does make you a Christian businessman is doing the job that God has given to you to the best of your ability with the purpose of improving that person's life and doing it with honor and doing it with integrity, honoring that person, honoring God, because obviously nothing happens in the world. Nothing happens by accident. Any person who comes into your life, every customer that walks through a door, everyone that God sends that calls you to buy a house, that was preordained, foreordained that at this time in history, Joe Blow would come to Kyle Kunkel to buy a house, or he would come to Billy Bob to get his oil changed or whatever. And if you recognize that this person's been sent into your life to serve them and care for them, and do it with integrity and do all things as unto the Lord. I mean, what if you're changing, the oil in Jesus' chariot? I mean, you'd want to do a good job,
Yeah.
obviously be paid for, for what you do. You want to be paid. You don't want to be real. I mean, some of the worst people in the world would come into my office were Christians because, I'd adjust them and then they'd be horrified. Well, I'm a Christian. I thought you were. You mean you want to get paid? Yeah, I do.
Right. Yeah. I had a friend the other day, just like, oh, so-and-so, you do really well and we're both Christians, you want to buy my house for me and I'll pay you back little by little. And it's just like, come on,
let me pray about that. Oh, the answer is no.
Yeah. Loud and clear.
Lord, would you? No. So, but that's it, and then at some point along the line, you open a door through, there's a little bit of a relationship and how you treat that person may be a seed that somewhere along the line, they saw something in you. And 6 months down the line, they're at a coffee shop and somebody else comes along and acts a little bit more Christ-like in their life. And slowly now, this person who may not have even wanted anything to do with God because they've witnessed a difference in some people, they become more to God, So I think that's probably the one thing is you don't have to separate the two. You don't have to give up one for the, you don't have to give up one for the other, that you can do both. And as long as you can go home, the key is as long as you can go home at night, put your head on the pillow and, review your day and know that, I actually did do the best I could for each person. It wasn't perfect, but my heart was in the right place. God, if there's anything that was out of place in my motives, tell me now. And he immediately will tell you. And then you simply repent and say, Lord, give me strength not to be motivated by self-motivation next time, but let me do that. Let me be motivated by your love. And, you'll see that change in your life. And suddenly you're finding more and more you're doing things out of wanting to serve God and your fellow man. And then to sell a house, to be the head honcho in the real estate office for the month, Kyle gets a new parking space for a month. And you know how ludicrous that is, because it's temporal. Yeah. It means nothing. And so that's why I appreciate you. I know that you really do want to do everything to bring glory to God. And you would find it extremely hard, if not impossible, to do anything that was not, quote, on the up and up, simply to sell a house. You couldn't do that because you couldn't live with yourself if you did that. You're God too important. And I think that would probably be the biggest thing for people.
That's really good. And I, one of the things that I, try and practice is loving the client. There's clients that I work with, and there, some of them are great to work with, and some of them are super harder to work with, but you just love them. And when you truly care about somebody and love them where they're at and, care about the clients and what their true needs are, that's the best service. I mean, that's when you're going to really help somebody versus just, oh, it's another transaction. Oh, it's another, deal. There's just no care behind it. It's just I'm not trying to just get another paycheck. That's not what it's about. I don't see a client and see dollar signs. I see a client and see a person and see, their heart and how can I love this person and how can I help them? And when a business owner has that mindset, I feel like it can change everything. So
it changes. One of my prayers every day is that, the life, light, love, and transforming creative and healing power of God would flow inwardly and outwardly through my gaze, my touch, my words, my voice, my breath, and my presence to shift, change, and transform people's lives, spiritual and natural atmospheres, and creation itself, bringing glory to God. And when you go out with that attitude and so on, you know, and I will say, even when I'm not consciously aware of it, even when I'm not consciously aware of it, that just walking by someone and looking at them, your gaze, your eyes connecting with their eyes, that can literally change something. We don't understand how, but something's changing in that person because your light, the light of God in you, has connected with the light of God within them, and something positive happened. So if business people do that in the morning, you know, set your goals. You know, that's all good. You got to have some goals, because if you have no goals, you don't know really how you're doing or how you're improving. But if your goal is first for that life, light, love, and God to manifest in and through your life, all the other things will begin to fall into place. Yeah,
they will. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, as we kind of wrap up, you know, if someone, you know, whether you're a believer or not a believer, I believe, you know, a lot of people have dreams. And, you know, that's definitely a gift that you have, is being able to understand those dreams and interpret those dreams. If, you know, if someone has those dreams, do we want to have them reach out to me and then I connect them with you, or how do we want to do that?
And for $39.95, I'll interpret it.
That's right.
No. And if you said two dreams, if you said two dreams today for the special price of $51.92 plus postage and handling. We're a funny guy.
That's funny.
Yeah, they can connect with you first.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, so, and then you could pass them on to, because see, if they connect with you, you're going to know probably who they are. If I get something, you know, if I get something in my email or something, have no idea who they are, it's probably going to junk mail, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So if someone's out there and they have a dream, and you know, and you don't know what it means, and you want to try to understand what that dream means, you know, what, send it to me, and we'll have a conversation, and then I'll connect you with Gary. So, yeah.
Okie dokie.
Well, hey, really appreciate having you on the show. It's an honor. I love you, and thank you.
Love you too, man. It was fun. Talk to you later.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.